Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
I love that that recording announcement and the sweet music and your sweet voice. It's great. Okay, I'm going to start. I'm going to start with a song. So let me share. I think this will work. We'll try it. Let's see.
Kicking up my heels, painting up this town. When you said goodbye, I learned a couple new dances, cast a couple of glances. I'm on a big roll now, except for Monday, which was never good anyway. Tuesday, I get a little sideways. Wednesday, I feel better just for spite. Thursday and Friday take too long before I know it. Saturday's gone, but it's Sunday now, and you can bet that I'm alright. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't always this easy getting over you. Got a little rough on me. It didn't take too long till I got it together. And every day I thank my lucky stars you set me free. Except for Monday, which was never good anyway. Tuesday I get a little sideways. Wednesday I feel better just for spite. Friday take too long before I know it. Saturday's gone, but it's Sunday now, and you can bet that I'm all right. Except for Monday, which was never good anyway. Tuesday, I get a little sideways. Wednesday, I feel better just for spite. Thursday and Friday take too long before I know it. Saturday's gone, but it's Sunday now, and you can bet that I'm alright. It's Sunday now, and everything's alright.
Okay. That was fun. That's the song that came in when I went, oh, you know, I did my thing. Oh, I'm playing a song. What's the song going to be? And it's funny because it's absolutely the perfect song. I heard that song for the first time this way when it came in, because you know it's a country song. It's like you left me and now I'm sad, but you know I'm over you, except for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. again, it's a perfect song for me because for what's going on with me, because I'm over the thinking mind, right? I get that this thinking mind is separate from me. I get that I don't have to listen to it. I get that I don't have to turn to it and go, what do I do now? And boy, do I get that, except for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, right? And Sunday, you know, is when I sit down and meditate, when I sit down and get quiet, when I, you know, make a concerted effort, then I get it. So Sunday now and everything's going to be all right. Again, it was the perfect song to come in because there's so much going on. There's so much going on here that I'm just like, ah, what do I do now? That made Regina's teaching, of course, the perfect teaching. You know, everything comes in just as it needs to come in. Yes, radio silence. So what I want to do is just take a second to get still. Let it be Sunday now. And express my gratitude for the opportunity to teach what I would learn. And ask that we all hear what we need to hear, see what we need to see. Amen. I don't have any journals to read to y'all because I haven't been journaling. I just haven't. It's just, give you all kinds of good reasons why between retreats and work. But so it really does become a matter of determining, and not by looking to the thinking mind, determining what needs to be done next. And there's just so much going on that there is no way of knowing that without turning to guidance. There's just, I mean, maybe that's true always forever, but you know, the lessons that I would learn sure come up for me to learn. It's like, you know, when I get up in the morning, I like to have a cup of coffee, maybe read a little bit, something inspirational, and then hopefully Ann and I can get together and do the lesson, you know. Then I can meditate, then I can journal. Ha! Not a lot of that going on around here. This morning I got up and we had at least a dozen email messages before I had my second cup of coffee. So it's just, it's just busy, busy, busy. And I am really inspired, and I keep putting I got a little sticky note here. That doesn't want to stick. So I got a little note here that I keep putting back up. And it's got, interestingly, the two things that Michael Langford taught to us in his recording in Gentle Healing this week and last week. I'm all right now. And slow down. So it's good advice. Yeah, it's good advice. Everything that Regina said today about leadership was good advice. So I don't know. I got to tell you that I'm tempted to say, Dawn, why don't you just play a previous recording? I got nothing. I'm telling you, I got nothing. So. What I'm going to do is... look at the tip for today the reading from Inner Ramana for today, and we'll just see where things go. I might just be me reading to y'all, so I hope you want to hear the tip and the lesson again, because that's where we're going. So this was originally day 316, the mind that thinks it is Lord. Regina wrote the tip, when you read today's message, please surrender to it. About to sneeze. It is a message about surrender, but in order to fully realize the lesson in the message, you will have to surrender to the message. When today's message asks you to do something, surrender to it and do it right then. If there are thoughts in your mind that say you don't need to do it, or you don't have time to do it, or you can do it later, practice self-inquiry to notice how the mind is trying to stop you from surrendering. So let me stop right there and say, man, if you were in this seat this morning, in this house this morning, you would have gone, okay, I don't see where any wiggle room. There's just like no wiggle room. even when Ann and I read the message, and she told y'all this while ago, it was like, because she had to be on in 5 minutes, right? Actually, we started, we had about 9 minutes to read through the tip and the lesson before she started her program. And that's all well and good. And there are always going to be instances where that's the case. You know, there will be days when, you know, these 12 emails need to be tended to before I can do what I need to do, what I want to do, before I can do my contemplation of my lesson. I assume that there will be days like that. And who knows, maybe those 12 messages didn't need to be done this morning before meditation and contemplation. Maybe they needed to be done, you know, after, you know, at what will be 2 o'clock my time, after this program. So that's the first question for me, is like, does this really need to all be handled right this minute? Or is that the thinking mind telling me what needs to be done? Because I don't think that much would have changed from 7:30 this morning to 2 o'clock this afternoon. So, yeah, as I said, let me hear what I would learn, right? So that's really the first question. Can this wait? You know, I mean, if somebody's on fire, you throw water on them, you put them out. But if they're not on fire, maybe this can wait. And it comes to me that one of the things Regina asked us in this self-inquiry retreat last week was, how do we sabotage ourselves, right? And I think that I do that by continuing to turn to the thinking mind and go, and does this need to be done now? You know, we can do this now. So I think that's where it's critical that this idea of slow down comes in. I think it's also where this idea is everything's all right now. Right? If somebody's not on fire or something close to that, then those need to be my guidelines. We've talked in the context of our leadership meetings and management of, as well as in management of the retreat house subcommittee meetings, we've talked about simplifying, about avoiding things that are unnecessary and would keep us unnecessarily busy. You know, it's the same sort of thing that Regina was talking about when she's like, I could make my own organic soup, but I'll just buy this that somebody already made for me. You know, and that means a lot of things. That means letting go of the need to bring a project to fruition. Maybe that, you know, just because we've been working on something like the forum for 4 months, you know, maybe it just needs to be let go. Fortunately, that's not actually the case here. Although I think all of us involved were with this forum thing, we're willing to let at least that version of the forum go. You know, later we'll look and see if we can do something else. And, you know, we looked at a couple ideas yesterday before we got the word that it was a simple fix. But I don't think any of us were just attached to needing this to happen the way we had originally envisioned it would happen. You know, nobody hollered at anybody. Nobody, like Regina said, nobody was upset about any of it. And that's really helpful, because I can tell you, if there had been upset in addition to all the moving pieces, yeah, that would put me right over the top. you know, I said yesterday, this is stressful. And Regina's like, why? I'm like, oh, okay. Well, let me rethink this then, or not think about it, right? But yeah, that That just, I think, is some insight into the orientation of the mind. No, you started this project. You need to finish this project. It needs to look like what you thought it was going to look like when you started it. I mean, I just think that's how the mind works. But again, if I could just slow down and understand that everything's all right now, boy, can't you just feel, I mean, just saying it, you can just feel the expansiveness in this, as opposed to, you know, we're starting this next week. It's got to be done. So, so I appreciate all of the lessons that come in from all over to help me see what I need to see. So let's look again at Regina's tip. She says, why would the mind try to stop you from suffering? Gosh, for some reason, I'm jumping back in there. I'm like, what? So let me back up to a paragraph, because that sentence made no sense to me when I just read it. So let me back up and see if it does, if I read the paragraph that precedes it. When today's message asks you to do something, surrender to it and do it right then. If there are thoughts in your mind that say you don't need to do it, or you don't have time to do it, or you can do it later, practice self-inquiry to notice how the mind is trying to stop you from surrendering. Why would the mind try to stop you from surrendering? When I read that a minute ago, did I say surrendering or suffering? That's why it didn't make any sense to me. I said suffering. Yeah, that's why it didn't make any sense, because that's the mind's job, right? Yeah, thank you, Dawn. Yeah, the mind's job, the self-appointed job, task of the mind, is to keep me from suffering, which it can never really do and doesn't actually do, but that's how it keeps you hooked. So, yeah, the mind is the suffering. Amen. So why would the mind try to stop you from surrendering is the real question here. Why would the mind try to stop you from surrendering? Is the mind trying to control you? Is the mind in control of you, or is your heart in the lead in your daily life? Well, I'm really glad that I chose to read this lesson. I can barely stand it. It's so funny. Let's see. Who's in charge? Oh, me. So, you know, this, it's just so sweet, because the lessons just get more and more subtle, or more and more obvious, or something, because I believe that I have had a glimpse, anyway, of the Jake Green elevator scene, right, where I've gone, I see you thinking mine, but you know, this is not a one-time thing. As frankly, I think that same scene where Jake confronts his ego in the elevator. In that same scene, the ego goes, you want to get rid of me? Want to get rid of me? And shoots itself. And then goes, ha, 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 and jumps right back up. So I don't think that, you know, it's a one-time thing. I think for me right now, it's clearly an active practice that really requires me to see who's calling the shots, you know, in this moment and in this moment and in this moment. And remember, and if I see ego, the thinking mind calling the shots, then to return myself to the heart. You know, that's the surrender, checking in. Do these 12 emails really need to be done right now? And, you know, and some of that requires what Regina was talking about earlier. And maybe I say some of that. So let me get rid of the word some of that and just say that requires what Regina was talking about earlier. That requires clarity and self-honesty. Because if I'm trying to make everybody happy and make sure, you know, I'm on top of this. Did Regina see that I answered that email? Right. Did Jay see that I'm being responsive? You know, that's not coming from clarity. That's not coming from the heart, nor are my motives ones that would lend themselves to clarity. If I'm just trying to be responsible, if I'm trying to get the job done, if I'm trying to make something happen. So it's those, hey Jay, I see Jay Tarzan picture back on. It's those mixed motives at best, and alternative motives in truth that keeps me from letting the heart lead. Jay's, oh, bye Jay. He's going to a business meeting, he says. All right. Yeah, it's sweet. Jay says, isn't it fun when you know someone long enough, they become part of your learning? Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it fun? That was sweet. Jay, sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not, right? But the lessons come in. If you're looking for the lessons, they come in from all over. And that's what it was occurring to me this morning when I was feeling overwhelmed, was like, these things are here for you to practice with. These things are here for me to practice with when it felt like everything was coming in from everywhere. It's an opportunity to practice. And these things don't come in isolation. I mean, they come in with Regina telling me how it's done, right? I get to listen to an hour of Regina telling me how to do it from clarity, from my heart. I get to listen to an hour of Anne demonstrating the return to the heart. You know, it may seem like hard lessons come in. But like Regina said, the universe gives me everything that I need to get the job done. And I don't mean just the physical job of like making the forum work or making this thing happen or making that thing happen. I mean, the job that I'm referring to here is my own awakening. The universe gives me everything I need on the path to awakening. It's just that simple. All right. So, why would the mind try to stop you from surrendering? Is the mind trying to control you? Is the mind in control of you, or is your heart in the lead in your daily life? In the Bible, at John 15:4, Jesus said, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Abide in me as I abide in you is a call to surrender. The fruit that Jesus spoke of is awakening. Just as he told the disciples previously, that salvation or awakening is not possible for man, but only for God. This scripture points out that awakening is not possible if the mind remains in the lead. Surrender is necessary. Yeah, not only is awakening not possible without surrender, peace of mind is not possible without surrender. And, you know, we might, I'm reading what Don wrote. Yeah. The ego doesn't awaken. Yeah. You might equate peace of mind with awakening. And I would certainly agree that peace of mind, is part and parcel of who we are. Squirrel. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I don't even know what thoughts are coming in, but it's like I just really feel bombarded. And I can't even hear what's being said. So let me just that's real time mind chattering. Oh my. So let me know that I'm all right now and slow down. I'm reminded actually when I say that of Dr. David Hawkins. There was a video years ago where he was, my recollection of this story is fuzzy, but there, I believe that there was a video years ago where he was teaching and he said, oh, we're running out of time to cover all the material that we've got to cover. And then he said, so we better slow down. So, yeah. Yeah, it's again, because, you know, because that opens us up to clarity. And then, you know, you're going to hit the whatever the high points are. You know that what really needs to be covered will be covered. What really needs to get done will get done. Because I'm coming from a place of clarity, because I'm letting my heart lead and not the mind. Because the mind's going to say, you got to do all of this. You know, there's 15 points left on this list to cover. You better get at it. I appreciate seeing the faces that I can see here. I heard Anne talk about how grateful she was to all her mighty companions, and I feel the same way. It's just really sweet to see your loving faces and talk directly to you. So thank you for being here, Shauna. Shauna turned her camera on. How sweet. Yeah. All right. So let's look and see what else Regina said in her tip, shall we? When I was the scribe of Inner Ramana, I received guidance to add, abide in me as I abide in you, to my mantra practice. In other words, just as I said, I am that I am to myself, whenever the reminder came to do so, I also said, abide in me as I abide in you, to myself, whenever the reminder came to do so. As I used this mantra, I felt my inner desire to surrender. Through using the mantra, my resistance to surrender weakened because I noticed that the true I, wanted to surrender. As I became more aware of my desire to surrender, surrender came more easily to me. So back to what Regina asked us to contemplate. I don't know if I have my answer somewhere or not. During the retreat, you know, how do we sabotage ourselves? my answer to that was, you know, how resistance shows up in me was basically the question. My answer to that was that you all have probably heard me say, oh my God, this is the greatest job in the world. I get to focus on what, you know, what I'm excited about. I would get to focus on, you know, the path to awakening or whatever you want to call it. And they pay me. however, that association, you know, what a trickster a mind is, ego is, because and now then in that association, there's like all the spirituality, if you will, gets thrown in with the work. So at the end of the workday, I'm ready for downtime. And downtime surely doesn't mean meditation or contemplation, right? It means turn on TV. And, you know, watching, you know, I don't get broadcast TV, but watching, like, I've been watching Saving Grace lately because somebody mentioned that as a good show. And I watched True Detective. And, you know, so there's a couple of them. I watched the news, the national news on YouTube. But, you know, it's just another way of, you know, ego coming around from the back end and figuring out a way I can give myself permission to be distracted, a way I can give myself permission to not be surrendered. And so what I end up doing is, you know, whatever time I quit and quit for the day. And that varies, you know, it could be, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, again, depending on what's going on. But then that's it. I am vegging, right? I am not doing spiritual stuff. It sounds an awful lot like work. So what may be really helpful for me to look at is switching those hours up a little bit, because I really, at the end of the workday, I don't feel like I can do another thing. My brain, my whole, it's just feels like gobbledygook. Like all I can do is look at a TV screen or something. Number one, that's probably not entirely true. Number two, if the most fruitful time for me to meditate, contemplate, journal with inner wisdom is in the morning, then maybe my morning could start a little bit earlier. You know, I could turn the TV off, go ahead and go to sleep, and then instead of getting up at 7 o'clock, get up at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, you know, and really make use of the fruitful time. So in the end, the justifications for my self-sabotage don't really hold up. You know, it's just a story I like to tell myself. Yeah. And that's okay. I mean, it really is okay. It's not like, oh, and therefore you suck. It's just like, yeah, okay, I see the story. So, thank you, Shauna. So, all right. So we kind of read through the tip. No, we did read through the tip. Let's let's look at the lesson from Inner Romana and see it. I told you guys that Ann and I read it like this morning. It was really, really bad like that. So it'd be good to read it again anyhow. The mind that thinks it is Lord. This is on page 79 of Inner Romana. I want to speak to you today of confusion, and I want to speak to you of clarity. Right? I mean, we talk about the two, right? I haven't even said much yet, but we talk about the two, you know, the two thought systems. We talk about Holy Spirit or ego, right? We talk about right mind, wrong mind. These are all the same thought systems. There's only two, confusion or clarity. Thinking mind or the heart. I want to speak to you today of confusion, and I want to speak to you of clarity. For confusion will keep you turning in circles and chasing your tail, seeking but never catching what you seek. Clarity leads you easily, slowly, like gliding, to the one goal that cannot be missed. And, you know, Regina was reading from the Tao this morning. She was talking about stillness, emptiness, clarity, being like water. This is exactly the same sentiment. You know, you don't get, you're not running around trying to get something done. You're not trying to get through something you can't get through. You're not trying to force anything to be anything. You're flowing with the flow. You're allowing everything to be what it is. And it would only be the thinking mind, the confusion, that would make that difficult. No, but I got to get this done because, you know, Regina's counting on me. Or whatever story we like to tell. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. I can tell you not once did I go this morning, for example, just using it for an example, not once did I go, is this something that can wait till later? You know, not once did I check in and go, should I do this now or should I continue with my meditation? This judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me is the core of all confusion. And without this one error, confusion is impossible. And not only confusion, you know, I'm not feeling it right this second, but several times today, it's this boom, 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 boom in the head has come in. And I don't mean thoughts, you know, I mean, you know, a headache. I'm not prone to headaches. I don't get that. But with that agitation and that, you know, needing to get something done, then I'm all, it messes me all up. Right. So it makes the tasks that do need to be done hard to do. Let me read you the next paragraph on page 79. I ask you to look at this one paragraph written above and accept it deeply into your heart. Do not think about it. Do not think about it. Because I tell you, if you think about it, you're gonna justify it, you're gonna limit it, you're gonna say, you know, you're gonna add caveats, maybe not consciously, but that's what we do when we think about something instead of just being with something. We bastardize it, you know, we twist it up. So I ask you to look at this one paragraph and accept it deeply into your heart. Do not think about it. Merely in peace and with love, accept what I say as true. Read the paragraph at least 5 times, silently accepting it before continuing. So let's do that. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion, and without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion, and without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion, and without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion, and without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion, and without this one error, confusion is impossible. Now, the next paragraph is just like just having actually sat there and done that with you guys. Look at this next paragraph. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. You know, my mind was going, are you kidding me? You're going to sit here and read that five times to these poor people? What is that going to sound like? If this is being recorded, what have you lost your mind? I got all kinds of good reasons not to read this five times. And what is that but deciding for myself what's best in this moment? And this is my go-to guy. This is what I'm always doing, deciding what's best for myself in this moment. Again, if there are two thought systems, let's go back for just a second to that first line. I want to speak to you today of confusion, and I want to speak to you of clarity. Confusion comes from the thinking mind. Clarity comes from surrender. Boy, am I teaching what I would learn. All right. Oh, we get to read this paragraph five times. You think we should? I'm teasing, of course. Of course we should, because we were just told to do that. So let's do it. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. That questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. And I feel led to go back to this question that I read wrong the first time. Why would the mind try to stop you from surrendering? Why would the mind say, don't read that five times? Right? Because it's protecting its territory. It's trying to keep you in the confusion. Is the mind trying to control you? Yeah. Is the mind in control of you, or is your heart in the lead in your daily life? And that's the question that we each have to ask. And we each have to ask that question 1,000 times a day. Wait, who's in control here? Is the mind in control of me, or am I going to let the heart lead me in my daily life? And Shauna says, I heard different parts each time you read it. Yeah, interesting emphasis each time. Yeah, it read to me differently each time I read it. I saw something different. And, you know, that's another point that Michael Langford was making last night in that recording we heard of his. You know, you read it 3 times or 4 times or 12 times or 20 times because you will hear something different each time because it brings clarity. It brings clarity by emptying the mind so that grace can come in. Right? Because it's not that we got smarter between the first time we read it and the fifth time we read it. Right? It's making room to actually hear what's being said. It's making room for grace. So let's see what Inner Ramana says next. Now you must ask, who is the I that questions and doubts these teachings? Right? Which is what we just did when we went back and said, why would the mind not want you to surrender? Who is it that questions? Who is the I that questions and doubts these teachings? Undoubtedly, you will discover that it is an I that thinks it stands apart from these teachings. You know, in whatever way. Oh, that might work for some people, but it's not going to work for me. That might work for Regina, because, you know, she gets answers. She writes them down. That's not going to work for me. That's for beginners. I don't have to read that 5 times. I'm smart. I got it the first time. Or whatever the stories are being told, but what's happening is this I that would stand apart from the truth, this is just the I that simply refuses to surrender, that wants to remain in control. So then ask, who is the I that stands apart? And Ramana says. And this is mind-blowing. Let's read this next sentence. Who is the I that stands apart? There is no answer to this question because there is no I that stands apart. You know, it's not like we have to banish the I. We just have to quit believing in it. So then ask, who is the I that stands apart? There is no answer to this question because there is no I that stands apart. If the mind should try to answer me, I'm the one who stands apart. Ask the mind with conviction, who is me? You know, don't give up there. Don't go, oh yeah, I remember you. You're the guy I always hang with, right? I mean, be persistent. No, really, who is the I? Show yourself. There shall be no answer because there is no I that stands apart. And, you know, again, we're talking about watching the Revolver movie. One of the questions I don't think we quite got to on our play sheet was, why do Avi and Zach string this whole thing out? Why don't they just tell Jake, oh, this is the formula and it applies to life, right? And and part of the answer to that question is because you have to draw this out to see what you're doing, right? You have to go where you otherwise wouldn't go, like Jake going in that elevator, in order to see this controlling mechanism come up. You got to draw it out of hiding. It can't remain hidden. If it remains hidden, you can't look at it squarely and go, who is that? When the voice that questions and doubts my teachings has been put to rest, you will find the call in your heart that asks you to simply and clearly listen to me, because I am the voice of your heart, and your heart is the truth of what you are. I want to read that paragraph again. When the voice that questions and doubts my teachings has been put to rest, you will find the call in your heart that asks you to simply and clearly listen to me, because I am the voice of your heart, and your heart is the truth of what you are. Again, when we quit listening to that, when we quit turning and going, now, what do I do now? Do I answer these emails or not? When we quit asking that of the I that doesn't exist, what's left? Me, stillness. Yeah. Yeah, the truth of who we are. The humility you feel when you listen to your heart is a true reflection of what we are. For there is no one above another, and no one who can decide what is best for his self. I really like that this... not that that's relevant, whether I really like it, but it speaks to me that this paragraph returns us to that felt sense. I'm not trying to figure out who I am or how to be what Regina Dawn Akers or Anna Romana or Nisargadatta tells me I ought to be. I'm returning to say, you know, who am I in my heart? And that doesn't come in words. That comes as a felt sense. The humility you feel when you listen to your heart is a true reflection of what we are. For there is no one above another, and no one who can decide what is best for his self. Clarity comes when you listen to me without the questioning and doubting of mind. Clarity comes when you listen to me without the questioning and doubting of mind. But in order to do this, the mind must be put to rest, because it is a natural function of the mind to question and to doubt and to want to decide for itself. So it's that turning of attention, you know, because if you ask questions of that mind, you're going to figure it out, right? You're going to, it's like that, that story they tell about, the monk carrying seeing the snake in distress and it's drowning. And so the monk picks the snake up and takes it out of the water and takes it to dry land. The snake bites it. And the monk's like, what the hell? I just saved your life. And the snake says, you knew I was a snake when you picked me up. So if you're going to turn to the mind, you're going to continue to get bit. Clarity comes when you listen to me without the questioning and doubting of mind, But in order to do this, the mind must be put to rest, because it is a natural function of the mind to question and to doubt and to want to decide for itself. All right, let me read these last two paragraphs. Let me slow down. No, I'm looking at the time. Last two paragraphs. When you are listening to mind and you want to decide for yourself, you put yourself above me. When you are in this position of above, you are identifying with a false perception of self, something that doesn't even exist. By false, I mean untrue. And so in that moment, you are blind to capital S self. You're blind to the truth of who you are. Abide in me as I abide in you is a call to abide in the one self, where there is no one that stands and lords over another. But to know this one self, you must put the lording mind aside, because the mind that thinks it does know and it can decide does not know the one self that at all times knows there is no Lord. Okay, guys, I love you. Thank you. Thanks so much for being here. See you next time.